Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba!
Mouth horn.
It is the mouth horn. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the Arena Kings DFS podcast. It's Joe.
And it is Rod. Of course, I am Joe saying it's Rod. About Rod.
And I'm saying Joe, who supplies the meaty mouth horn every month.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my favorite part about this show is just is the first 5 minutes in which we talk about the mouth horn.
If we even keep listeners past the first 5 minutes, I think that's their favorite part too. So, Joe, welcome back.
Yeah, I like how you referred to listeners in the plural. I mean, you're making big assumptions. You're optimistic. I like it.
I see the stats every week. There are at least two, and they're listening from places other than us. So,
oh, nice. All right, great.
But another week of DFS, Joe. Another week of AFL football. I'm really enjoying this season. I don't know about you, but I really am having fun playing DraftKings and watching these games.
Yeah, I'm having a blast, man. Last week was fun. Last week I was in big. The biggest week for me as far as lineups generated. Not my biggest output, however, which I felt good going into last week, but it didn't quite turn out that way. But there was a little bit of drama, Rod, this week, wasn't there?
There was some drama. And look, I mean, I know that no company is perfect, and I know that there are going to be some mistakes, and especially in the first year of scoring a league and some like the Arena Football League where there's a lot of scoring. But yeah, it seems that we had a misstep and there was a payout before a correction was made. So yeah, tell us about it, Joe. Tell us what happened.
So what happened was they credited Lamarck Brown, who had two touchdowns of his own, with a third touchdown that was not his own. In fact, that touchdown belonged to one Kendrick Ings. K. Ings, perhaps the most discussed name on this Arena Kings podcast, simply because of the pun relationship there. But no, he was never credited, never. He still doesn't have it credited to his name. So if you were to go look at his stats, he's down one touchdown on his season total, but they basically paid it out before they allowed the stat correction to take place, which you hate seeing that, man, because it shakes your confidence a little bit about the scoring system, about who's providing the stats, about how quick they are to pay out after the games are done and without, you know, allowing for any type of correction period. I would rather just see it, you know, corrected and delay the payouts by an hour or two, especially when people are tweeting that something's wrong.
Oh, for sure. And that's the thing. People were on it almost immediately. And our good buddy that sets up our three-man league in, do we dare say DFS Army?
Yeah.
He was all over it. He jumped all over those guys and tweeted them and probably emailed them and probably called the headquarters. And to no avail, they did pay out still with Ings, down that touchdown and 4 yards and a catch. So all told, he was down 7.4 points because of the fact that this happened. So luckily, though, they did end up paying out. They came back a couple days later and said, we apologize for our mistake. Here is what you would have won had you had the right, you know, correct Ings thing. But they didn't fix any of the standings. So I don't know if you'd have placed higher or whatever. You just know that this is what you would have made up had Kings been scored correctly.
Yeah, and that happened to me. I got, after the correction, they dropped another, I think, $95 in my account, which kind of saved my week, actually, put me into the green. And I believe that was mostly in this one tournament called the AFL $200 First Down. I came in second in that tournament. And it's pretty big. I mean, that one has got like at least 237 entries, and I came in second, but I had... the guy who beat me had Lamarck Brown. I didn't have Ings in that particular lineup, but he did have Lamarck Brown. So and he just barely beat me. So I'm wondering if they actually credited me for taking down that tournament.
And you'll never see it either because it won't show.
Yep. So I won't get the cred. And that's what I want, man. I want the cred.
But you know what? You know what? I don't get the cred because guess what? Guess what there, Joe? In our head to head, my friend, you beat me by thinnest of margins. But guess what? Due to stat correction, you did not.
What?
155.14 was your score. Okay. And I had 148.32. You, sir, did not have Ings in that lineup, but I did. And I, with that 7-point correction, topped you by 0.6 of a point.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I do.
None of this is computing. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
So raise a glass because Rod once again triumphs with the stat correction.
I don't know because I'm looking at the standings right now and it's showing that I won. A cool $9 and placed number one on the Stan Vandal versus Hot Rod V AFL tournament. I'm going to still count it.
No, I don't think so.
We're at 3-3. Yeah, no, man. I think we're at 3-3 on the season.
We'll put an asterisk by that.
I'll take that asterisk.
Well, listen, controversy aside.
I'll Venmo you $9.
I don't even keep your $9. I just want the credit, right? What were we saying? I just want the credit for it.
Yeah, it's all about the credit. Yeah, well, that I don't want to give you the credit. I'd rather give you the $9.
So I advanced one more time, but I did listen. I just got throttled in our three man. So you can take
it from there. I took down the three man with Christopher. What's it, Chris? Yeah. New? I always forget his name. I just see the DFS army and then my blood starts going. And then.
Lobby Cruz.
No, yeah. Good. He's a good dude. He's a good dude. But yeah, thanks. Big shout out to Chris. He's the one that kind of, sounded the alarms on this discrepancy. And so I think got a lot of people, money back when they probably otherwise would not have, if not for the stink. The Twitter stink risen.
Yes. Arised.
Yeah. So how was your week overall, man? I mean, did you come up on top overall?
No, it was a rough one because this was one of the ones where I didn't feel good going in. And I think it really, my roster construction kind of like mirrored that because I didn't, when we were building our rosters and we were talking about finding those diamonds in the rough, right? Those guys that would maybe hit or maybe not. In the phrase that we like to use, I think it just got too cute down there at the bottom. And I was trying to fill my roster with folks that, I thought I could take a chance on for at least 10 points or, somewhere in that vicinity. And the guys that I put down at the bottom, the cheap guys, really got nowhere near and they sank my lineups. So I don't know. With what happened with the credit back, I got a little bit back of it. So it wasn't like I was completely out, but I almost didn't really break even at all this week.
Yeah, I came up. This was my biggest weekend. I put 150 of my bankroll in, which I'm a little ashamed to admit, but I went the full 20 max lineups in the $1,000 championship, and I definitely did my fair share of getting cute with that bottom guy. Still ultimately came up. I think I ended up winning, like 15 bucks overall. So I came up 15, 20 bucks, I think, up on the day with the correction. I'll take it. It was still fun. It was fun to put out that many lineups. It was fun to kind of mix and match and see where I can get to. But there were just some surprises this week that we definitely overlooked we didn't even mention Quentin Sims' name last week, pretty sure.
And I am so mad because Quentin Sims was one of those guys, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that we were saying was a good player and somebody that was solid. Then he falls off and then he comes back in a big way. And that's the most frustrating thing I think about fantasy football and daily fantasy altogether, right? Is that you can be on a guy for weeks on end and no production, nothing that you, you could say, put him in your lineup. And then the week you take him out, all of a sudden he does Quentin Sim things and now you're not green.
I mean, yeah, if you're going and looking, I mean, he just exploded, right? He had been averaging somewhere around 20 points this whole season. And then he just went 38.9. So, I mean, no, And Malachi Jones still had a Malachi Jones type day. And got me a lot of points, but there were a lot of people on Sims. I don't know if it was because there was for a portion of the week anyway, there was a questionable tag next to Malachi Jones, and so they were playing his backup, which was a smart move, astute move on their part, to kind of take that cheaper secondary guy when maybe the stud on a team is going to be sitting, potentially have his reps limited because of questionable health situations.
But you would think, though, that with, you know, Jones being cleared, that maybe some of those guys would have come off of him, but I guess not. I mean, once some people just set it and forget it, like on Tuesday, and then they don't even think about it until the game hits. So maybe we'll just chalk it up to those guys.
So one of the things that I did last week, kind of similarly, was with McNeil the third. Not of course the first or the second, but McNeil the third. I ended up swapping him in. He was very similarly priced to Dangerfield, who was questionable all the way up to like the day of. So I ended up doing a lot of Dangerfield swapping for Doug McNeil, and that really paid off last week because Doug McNeil, of course, had 46.4 points last week. Which, so, you know, keep and that's in all honesty, that 100% saved my week if I had not done that. If I left Dangerfield alone and just expected that he was going to get the type of workload that he normally gets after basically not practicing most of the week. So you got to keep an eye on that. Get in there at the last second, make those swaps, have a backup play in mind. Of course, McNeil is really looking like the favorite target over there right now in Washington. No, Albany. Wait, no,
Washington.
Sorry.
Little punch drunk over there because you're just happy that he got you all those points.
Yeah, I was pumped, man. And he ended up, I played my you know, he ended up, that's was the big reason because I had him in a captain position in a number of leagues, and it paid off, man. It's a good week.
Yeah, the captain position for McNeil was that is what won people money. He was only 16% owned, so really it was you and maybe a handful of other people, myself included. I had one lineup, and in fact, he was part of my best lineup. No, you know, no surprise there. But yeah, it was a matter of him being, like you said, very similarly priced to Dangerfield. And we talked about Dangerfield. You love the name, but the production hasn't been there. And you're right. I think it's beginning to look a lot like Arvell Nelson now is favoring some Doug McNeil. And I think if you're going to go forward, he might be one of those guys. He was, like I said, only 16% owned. He's probably not going to be that way this week in the $1,000. So you might, I don't know. If you're chasing points, Doug's probably your guy. If you need the points, Doug's your guy. So you're kind of stuck. You're going to have to put at least one or two or possibly three or four lineups out there with some McNeil this week as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be running him out again. I'm sticking on that train. He's really freaking good, man. I mean, if you watch that game, that was a fun game to watch, by the way.
It was.
And he's just really, really good. And I don't see him taking a step back anytime soon. I see him becoming the main guy. Arvell Nelson's main guy. I think you're going to continue to see Epps kind of fade into the background out there. And Doug McNeil is just going to become the guy by the end of the season.
Yeah, it was Epps' world at first, wasn't it? And then it just kind of faded into the black.
Yep. McNeil's really taken over. And it was just, I mean, the second half of that game was just insane because McNeil didn't do too much in the first half. And then he just turned it on. He just flipped the switch. And it was like every pass was a touchdown to McNeil, it felt like, in the second half of that game.
My heart just kept sinking every time because I was in the green pretty good. And then all of a sudden it was like throwing darts and all the McNeil lineups started rising to the top. I was happy because one of mine did. But, you know, we'll go over our best lineup. Do you have your best lineup ready for us? We do, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I got.
But yeah, I mean, just my heart kept sinking because all that green started fading as all my non-McNeil lineups started to fade out.
Yeah, I did. I had a decent amount. I wasn't paying attention the whole time, to be honest. So I like to kind of not hang on to every play because it swings so wildly. I like to kind of check in every now and then and see what's going on. But yeah, I got my first and best lineup. There's kind of a the first guy in my best lineup here is a big win for me because I haven't wavered from this particular gentleman all season. And it's been tough not to. But in the captain slot, in my best lineup, with 218.18 points was none other than the Columbus Destroyers' Grant Russell at quarterback, who got me 45.72 points in the captain slot, which was enough to get it done. That took down that particular tournament and pretty much saved my day. So the cheap quarterback in the captain's position did in fact pay off this week.
And I really, again, I usually roll out at least every, so I make a lineup. This is a little inside baseball for me. Every lineup I make at least one, you know, and there's only six. So I make at least one lineup with the quarterback of the team in the captain slot. So I too had a Grant Russell captain slot, but the rest of the lineup was a very, very poor showing. So yeah, that made me very sad, because the Grant Russell thing could have worked just like you did, you know, just like it did for you. But instead I went with Darius Prince in my captain slot, because in my 197.36 lineup, I figured Darius Prince was going to do great things again, which he didn't do too badly, but he was not the Darius Prince that we know and love from Pat.
We talked about him too much last week is what happened.
We certainly did.
We talked up Darius Prince way too hard, and he's like, hey, fellas, you know, relax. Relax. I'm only human.
Just back. So,
yeah, but then so I went ahead, and so just to let you in a little bit on the future of this is the first of a triple stack. I triple stacked this lineup and it paid off. The Wendy's triple stack was my best. So the stack I went with Grant Russell was a little bit of a sneaky play, and it wasn't a huge points output, but it was Julian Lowe of the Destroyers, and he only got me 6.8 points. But that just goes back to what we were preaching loudly last week, is you can get away with one guy, you know, scoring you. We were saying 10 to 20, and I only got 6.8 out of Julian Lowe last week. And yet I still was enough to take down this tournament.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's amazing to me that you can have somebody with a very low output and still take these things down. But you have to nail like all the top guys, and they have to have their best day for you in order to make that happen. So unfortunately, my lowest guy, which we'll get to later, barely scored me a little over 5 points. So I did not enjoy the same output as you did from the low man on the totem pole, as it were. But my next guy, and this is part of just a normal stack. I didn't triple stack, but this is part of the stack that I had all over the place. And I had so much of this that this might have been my ultimate downfall, is that I had Tommy Grady as my next player, because what did I say last week? I said you just have to have Grady and Jones and build your lineups from there. So I took my own advice and did that. So Tommy Grady was my next one. 36.9, not in the captain slot. So not a horrible day, but again, you know, something that you probably would have wanted a few more touchdowns out of him.
Sure, yeah, and he played pretty well. I mean, that was a good real life game. 36.9 is nothing to sneeze at, and I definitely went Tommy Grady as well. He was in fact the next of my stack. I went Malachi Jones and Tommy Grady that stack, and combined, you know, 41.2 for Malachi Jones and 36.96. I mean, hey, I'm happy with that. I'll do that all day long. I'm still going to keep playing that stack.
Yeah, me too. That I mean, again, I'm not getting away from that. And there'll be maybe one or two lineups where I don't do that, but by and large, I think I'm Grady Jones pretty much straight across the board, because I mean, I'm going to ride or die. I mean, I'm not one of those cerebral players with tons of spreadsheets that sit out in front of me. I play from my heart. So my heart says Grady Jones. And I'm going to get a tattoo right there by my heart. Say Grady Jones.
I don't know how your Blackjacks people would feel about that.
They probably wouldn't like that very much. But if they're going to keep winning me money, maybe, you know, we're talking gambling here. So maybe they'll forgive me.
All right. So you went Grady and Jones.
Yes.
Correct. I'm assuming that. So, all right. So I'll just lay out my next stack of rounding out the Wendy's triple stack lineup, which was my best triple stack lineup of all time, by the way. Was Nelson and McNeil the third. And that paid off. I mean, 41.1 from Nelson, who was, by the way, my fade of the week last week, which was a huge, huge, terrible call. I'll be accountable for my terrible calls But I was fading Nelson in most of my lineups, and that's a big reason, I think, why I really didn't finish as well as I was hoping. But McNeil made up for some of that quite a bit with how much I did play him. But yeah, 46.4 for Doug McNeil III and Arville Nelson, 41.1. Yeah, I mean, killer stack last week. And don't listen to me. That's the moral of the story. Because if you did, you wouldn't have played it.
Listen to you and do the complete and total opposite.
Yeah, that works too. That's a good suggestion.
Well, hey, I faded. I'm not even going to get there yet, because that's going to be our new segment. I don't want to jump ahead on that. But guy I faded kind of was, I was happy I did. But okay, so round mine out. I had Radabaugh. I ran a naked Radabaugh out.
Solo
Radabaugh. I didn't want to pair him with anybody because I just felt like Radabaugh was just going to be Radabaugh, and he was. Thankfully, he had 34.4, so not bad. I mean, 2 points less than Tommy. So yeah, definitely a good day. And then I had McNeil, and then the last guy on my roster that sat there taking up space, what I got too cute with, was Mr. Nixon. 5.6 out of him.
Yeah, too cute, Nixon. So yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, the way I like to judge my overall performance is where I placed in the $1,000 tournament, and that 218.18 score got me 22nd overall in the $1,000 tournament. Which last week I had 11. I came in 11th. So, but 22 is not too bad. This week I'll be 33rd. I'm pretty sure.
I was 116th. That was my top line. Was 116th. So.
116. That's
no,
terrible.
I know.
Thanks, sir. Did you not listen to our show?
Listen to myself in the show is what the problem was.
No, actually, it's really not that bad, man. It's I mean, you were in the top 10%. Oh, it's a big ass tournament.
Hey, but I did get third in the arena fan contest, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, that's good. I did not in the arena fan contest. I don't even know where I came in.
11th. I'm here for you, bud.
Oh, 11th. I thought I was doing much worse than that. When I was looking at it, I was like 17th or something.
Oh no, you're good. I lost to Dubaldo and J Nick Seven Savage. Who Dubaldo had 240.5. Big score up there.
Well, what did you score in that tournament? Huh? What did you score in that contest?
197.36. That was pretty much my best lineup. I entered that one in there.
Yeah. So didn't the guy that won that arena fan, he would have won if he put that lineup into the $1,000. I think he would have won it.
He would have totally won it. Absolutely. Because now we need to go see. Good segue, my friend.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go to who won that that $1,000 tournament. You are a professional.
I did that segue on purpose.
Yeah, you did.
Let's take a look, Ski.
Let's take a look.
Took it down. Yeah, he would have won it.
Yep, totally would have won it. So guess what? Dubaldo, if you're listening to this show, next time, trust your gut and throw what was it, $3 out?
$3. You played the free arena fan contest, which, by the way, if you want to play in that contest, just shoot a tweet over to arenafan.com and they'll get you an invite. They'll tell you what you need to do. But it's fun. I think it's all the hardcore people, right? All the hardcore fans are in that league.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Get in there and have a good time. It'll be fun.
You know what, though? He wouldn't have won. He would have come in second.
Oh, second?
Yeah. Oh. 243.09 was the winning score from this week in the $1,000 tournament.
Gotcha. Oh, dang it. Well, that's super close.
That's all right.
So. But still, second in the overall tournament. That's not bad.
That's $500.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I am proud of is I did beat that Shinari fella or lady.
Boom.
Yeah. I don't see them in the top at all.
Mm-mm. I didn't this week either. They were down. They were kind of around me in that 100 region.
Yeah, I found him, and it was interesting. He played like 10 of the exact same lineup. I'm like, why would I do that? I don't understand why you would do that.
Unless it's a really good lineup and you really feel good that you're going to take down the first 10 spots and win all the money.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he did it. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. He was pretty confident in that lineup, but it didn't shake out for him.
Well, the winner of this week's $1,000 was CL Boiler. Yeah, CLG Boiler 311. Don't know what that means, but CLG Boiler 311 had 243.09, took down the $1,000 this week on the strength of Arvell Nelson's captain slot at 61.65 points.
Yep, my fade of the week. Won the $1,000 won somebody $1,000 this week. So yeah, good mouth horn.
Thank you. Thank you. I learned from the best.
Hey, actually, no, you leave the mouth horn into me, sir.
You get one thing in this show, and it's the mouth horn.
That's right.
And the bad fades. But anyway,
so looking down, he made this call. So this one kind of chaps my hide, because my last week, my sneakiest of sneaky plays was literally, I didn't go with this guy, mainly because I don't like his stupid face and his stupid name. BJ Bunn. He was the guy that did what I said Williams was gonna do last week, which was he was the guy that stepped into the ailing Philadelphia Soul receiving core and went bananas and got 26.4 points at only, and he was what, he was
2000
$2,000 last week, just with Jordan Williams was also was 1800 last week. And I was debating between those two, and I really thought, because of how Jordan Williams had performed in the return game, that he was going to be the one to step in. And BJ Bunn, who I hadn't seen much of at all, I think I saw like one or two receptions all season from him, and he's the one that stepped up and got 2 touchdowns, 5 receptions, 94 yards, and 26.4 points, and won the $1,000 prize. Had that been Jordan Williams, as I predicted, man, I would have been in some major money last week.
Frustrating.
Stupid BJ Bunn. You are my arch. BJ Bunn is.
You're so worked up.
So
you
can't even
get it out.
I can't even get it out. It's fine. Moving on. We're talking about people that I don't hate with all of my body. Well,
then Mr. Was it CLG Boiler 311. We're just going to now prefer to him as Boiler 311. Had the Grady Jones stack because he listens to the show.
Yeah.
And then he has Grant Russell because he also listens to the show.
Yeah, he must. And he's got Dougie McNeil the third rounding out the lineup there. Because he must listen to the show. Absolutely. Talked about that deal quite a bit last week. Paid off in a big time way.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because had I went with BJ Bunn, I might have been a little bit more in the money as well. And also if I'd have taken a step down to Arvell Nelson, I probably would have done that same thing. So woulda, coulda, shoulda, but didn't. I was 2 pieces away from taking down $1,000, and BJ Bunn, like you said, was one of them. And listen, so for the BJ Buns, in fact, Joe, we actually have our very first question of for the show. Do you want to do it now, or do you want to save it till the end of the show?
Ooh, no, I'm excited. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, we have a question on Twitter. I put the call out, and I said that we were recording, and then if we had any questions, use the hashtag AskTheKings. So nice. Yeah, FF Groot, who says, I am Groot on Twitter.
He is Groot.
He is Groot. Right. He asks us, he says, is Jordan Williams worth a flyer again this week, or did Bunn fill that role? Ooh, I like that. Did Bunn fill that role? I don't know if he meant that, but.
Yeah, no, that's a great pun. Good job, Groot. but no, actually, so I was thinking on this. And I do have Williams in a couple more lineups this week because it's just the nature of it, right? We just talked about it with Quentin Sims. We're on a guy, we're on a guy, we're on a guy, we're off a guy, and then they go bananas. Well, Jordan Williams, the other element of Jordan Williams that I wasn't really aware of before we recorded last week, because he popped up on the injury report. Literally, I saw it right after we were done recording, and I was like, ah, son of a. So Jordan Williams was actually banged up last week as well. So my initial theory and his productivity in the return game could still get him that opportunity if he is healthy. He was a game time decision, and they did, I believe he said it was probable going into game time. I don't know if he actually played because he did not record any stats, which, by the way, you called, Rod. So very heartlessly called last week. But I would, in all honesty, they're similarly priced this week, I think. What's Bun running at? What temperature is Bun cooking at this week? Oh, he's 2,000. They're both $2,000 this week. So I would, in all honesty, I would take a chance on both, do the exact same lineup, and put both of them in there. One Bun, one Williams.
It would not hurt you at all to, again, especially in these multi-entry contests, mm-hmm. right? Just throw four or five of them out there with Bun, because at $2,000, you literally can roll so many more people out that are big hitters. And if Bun hits again, then you're good. But now beware, of course, Groot, because people keep an eye on these things, and there's going to be a lot more people on Bun than the like 6% that were on him going into this. So you're not going to get him at a probably under 15 to 20% ownership. So if you're going to try to differentiate that way again, just know that there's a lot of people that are going to be zigging again where they think you're zagging. So in fact, he was only, 6.69% drafted. 1% actually got him in the captain slot. So know that that's not going to be that low again this week.
Yeah, no, it's not. And also keep an eye on Washa's status. I haven't been, I'll admit, I'm not on Washa's status. He's still out.
He did not participate again. Thanks to John Stark one more time for that news.
So he's still out. So they're still looking for answers there. They need some guys to step up. Keep an eye. It looks like Williams is good to go. I would throw them both out there, but just be prepared. There's going to be a lot of people playing BJ Bun this week. I'm not gonna be one of them. Screw that guy.
You will, though. You'll throw one or two lineups out there that you're definitely gonna want.
No, it's the principle of it. I'm no, I will. I'll throw some Bun out there. I will
throw some Buns out there. BJ, we really don't hate you.
I'll smack some Buns out there. I'm sorry, BJ.
He probably has heard all of it before and then some.
he was dealt a poor hand with that one, unfortunately, but I'm sure he's a good spirit about it. a good sport about it, so to speak.
Hey, so speaking of our head-to-head, let's go ahead and go through our head-to-head matchups, because people love that. They love hearing our head-to-head results. So who, my friend, was in your lineup in our head-to-head that I won, by the way?
Last week? Okay, we're doing last week's head-to-head?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to our future one here in a second.
Oh, gotcha. So pulling up the contest.
I will start with my boy, Tommy Grady. He was – oh, wait, we already went through that last week. We don't need to go through that again, do we?
Yeah, we went through ours. You listen to last week's. It'll tell you who we had. And then, just know that Rod kind of beat me. But I won, and we're 3-3.
No kind of about it this time, buddy. I killed it.
Fine.
All right.
Fine, Rod. Officially, you're 4-2 on the series.
Hell to the yeah. Hey, so we are going to roll out our new segment. As far as we talked about it last week, and we got all giddy about it. We're gonna name our fantasy arena king for the week. And we each have one. So, and then we each have a fantasy jester. So we're going to tell each other what those are, and we're going to tell you what they are. So Joe, who was your arena king for the week?
My arena king was Doug McNeil the third.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Because he just came in and absolutely took over that freaking game. He almost got, of course, Washington did not win, but man, if they had a chance, they were down by just a ton of points at halftime. They were getting their they were getting it handed to them in every which way. I took that back to a child family friendly place. But they were getting it handed to them, and Doug McNeil stepped it up and just went absolutely bananas. He said, Arvin Nelson, just throw me the ball. He did, and every single time he did, it was a touchdown. And he just went absolutely crazy with 46.4 points. Regular out of that translates to 60 some odd points in the captain slot. And he was my first arena king.
I wish I had that mouth horn for that. Mine mind was the guy throwing him the ball, and that's Arvell Nelson, because, you know, over 60 points in the captain slot. Now, granted, it was not in a lineup that I won really anything in, but when the guy can get you 61 points, and again, I said it in week, like, I don't know, two or three, like, you have to have at least one or two lineups with Arvell Nelson in that captain slot. I know he's expensive. I know that he runs a ton, but the man continues to put up these, like, 50 to 60 point weeks, and you almost have to have some sort of exposure to it, because if you don't, then, you know, week after week, you're just going to be behind the eight ball. So my first Arena King is one other than Arvell Nelson that was throwing your man, Doug McNeil, the ball.
Beautiful, man. That's a beautiful sentiment, and it is true. I love it. He is a king.
Indeed.
He's our guy.
Indeed.
He's been our guy all year. It was wrong of me to fade him. I apologize. If only he probably heard and got mad, because we've been such Arvell Nelson guys all season long. And he's like, what? How dare they fade me? And I shall go out and destroy everything stat wise.
Turn on me. Why don't you?
Yeah, it was a very close race, though, man. My runner up for king, if we're doing that, let's call him the queen. was Grant Russell. Was Grant Russell, because I mean, as far as you know, him coming into his own, this wasn't a planned thing. We're not doing the Arena Queens every week, but he was very close as far as a king goes for me, because it was really his best game. He finally eclipsed 30 regular points. He got me 40 some odd points in the captain slot, and it was just his most complete game. Even though he has not shaken the mistakes, he still did have two interceptions. But the biggest thing here was he had no fumbles. Finally, no fumbles, which has been a big issue for him. That it looks like he's getting on the same page with his center, and that snap handoff is really coming along. And they're not just dropping it every single time they snap it to him at this stage of the game. So he is a rookie. He's coming along. He's still only $7,000 this week, and I think he's just going to keep getting better. So keep an eye out on Grant Russell, my Arena Queen of the week.
He loves that.
I kind of think we should keep that a thing. Let's keep the queen a thing.
Okay, I'll pick a queen next
week. You have a queen? Was there someone you were debating with Nelson on being your queen?
Malachi Jones, but just because he's Malachi Jones. Maybe it's because of the AAF holdover, but I have such a soft spot for that guy because he is so explosive. He's so good, and he just finds the end zone almost every time he touches the ball. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. No argument there.
So, all right. Well, who is your jester? Who is the guy that you want to put in the doghouse this week?
Fabian Guerra. Fabulous Fabby G. You're in my doghouse, my friend. 2 weeks in a row, underwhelming compared to what we know he's capable of. I do know he also has that AAF soft spot in my heart, and came in, you know, in spectacular fashion. And then, of course, had the 72.4 point game, which was the best of any receiver so far this season. But he only came up with 11.4 points last week. And that's just not acceptable for how much you are paying for that man. The only good that could have potentially come from him being awarded my inaugural Arena Jester, Arena Kings Jester in the Arena Kings court, is that his price has come slightly back down to earth this week at $9,600. So I do expect quite a lot of Fabian Guerra lineups out there this week, expecting somewhat of a bounce back, because his last sub 20 game was 15.9, and people went off of him, and that's when he exploded for 72.4 points. And I wouldn't be surprised. He just could be a very up and down type guy, and he's not as consistent as his price tag has warranted. And so I think his price is justly going down. And yeah, man, sorry, but you are in my doghouse at the moment, but I'm still going to be playing you this week. I'll take that discount.
Joe, Who yes, did I say to fade last week?
Was that your fade?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. Well, damn it. Way to be better at me at everything, Rod.
Yeah, right. Mr. What was it? 22nd, 11th place this week? Yeah.
Yeah, 22nd. Yeah, I'll just take that 22nd overall. Yeah.
No, but listen, for my fantasy gesture.
That's before the Lamarck Brown connection.
Yeah, yeah. No, my fantasy gesture this week is also Fabian Guerra because I did roll him out in at least two lineups. Now, when I say fade, I'm not completely fading him. I'm going to throw him in a couple of lineups just because you're dumb if you don't throw, you know. Here's the thing, and maybe I'll get back on track with Fabian Guerra. You made a pretty good, you know, you roasted him all right. I think we'll leave it at that. He's my gesture as well. But here's the thing about the DraftKings and the way they have it set up for Arena Football. It is so inexpensive for you to be able to roll out, you know, 10, 15, 20 lineups. So there really is no excuse for you to not be able to afford to roll out at least 15 lineups a week and see where, you know, you can get creative and find different combinations and stuff like that. Because, you know, if you're $3 times 15, like, I don't do math. That's what, carry the six. I don't know. That's not a lot of money. So if you want to do that and experiment, this is probably the most inexpensive sport that you can do it with and still cash, because the entries aren't just this enormous number that you have to try to get over. You know, you're playing against 1,000 people, maybe, if that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And so the competitions, the numbers are low, and you just have a good shot. You've got a good shot in the dark at taking this thing down. And if you do it methodically, you know, you like we have been, and we've been trying to figure out that strategy, and I've been testing out different strategies and sticking with them for a number of weeks. And as it's turning out, a number of them are getting me up there towards the top of the food chain, so to speak, in these tournaments. And spread it around a little bit. You don't have to just only put it into that $1,000 tournament, like the $1, you know, whatever there was, the $200, the $1 entry, $200 tournament basically took down with the correction last week. That was awesome. That saved my day. So take some of your lineups, spread them around, you know, just set your budget and do what you can do with it in there. I didn't play a lot of cash games last week, though. That was the one thing that I kind of strayed away from. Mainly just because I had sunk a lot of money into the tournaments. How did your cash game situation treat you last week?
You know, there wasn't a lot of cash game offerings last week, to be honest with you. There wasn't as many double ups that were actually staffed or filled or anything like that. So I didn't play a lot of cash because the offerings don't seem to be all that good. In fact, there wasn't any good double ups, so I didn't play any double ups. I played all GPP this week, which is probably why I didn't do so good.
Yeah, I got what I could in there, but the thing that makes me nervous, a lot of these double ups or a lot of the cash games are essentially head-to-heads in this league because there's really not that many people playing them. And so what makes me nervous, because I never see one that's filled. If it's like a two person head to head, I never see one that's already got the guy in there. There's nobody in it. And so I'm worried that I'm going to like fill out a couple of these head to heads and then freaking Shinari or DFS Army guy is going to come. And then he's going to be the one, you know, someone really good on the other end is going to come and just destroy me in all my cash games.
Is that $1,000 one comes through every time?
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern I have in that respect.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I certainly wouldn't be that that. But I tell you, I did do the showdown, and I didn't do well in the showdown because I don't know, the showdown felt weird, and the winner of it got 157.52, and I only got 103 because I played again Stoshak and Ferns and got burnt by both of them. So.
Yeah, Stoshak continues to burn, unfortunately. But hey, I mean, we've been trying. Is this going to be your week? You're off of him finally? Because if it is, I'm going to play a lot of Stoshak.
Yeah. Yes. But here's the thing. Low is out now, too. So there's no low. Low is out. He was either put on the IR or placed on the recallable. We can call you back at any time.
Oh, is he really? Yeah, you're right. Recallable assignment. Well, he might be recalled immediately because last week Grant Russell was put on the recallable. You know, the starting quarterback was put on the recallable reassignment and then just immediately brought right back. So it is kind of hard to say what the situation is going to be. Also, I want to correct something I said earlier. I'm looking at the things right now, and our favorite guy around here, BJ Bunn, is actually $4,800 this week, not 2,000, like I said. So he's not interchangeable with Williams, like I said he was. So, but Stoshak continues to go down, and he is just $3,600. Like, you can't.
It's just hard to play him, though.
It's so cheap. It's so cheap. And if all you need is 10 points out of him, if he's your sneaky of the week, you know, he could still very well get you that 10 points or more. He has the potential to do more. Yeah, I don't know, man. But he's been getting you less 3 weeks in a row with less than 10 points. Oof, I don't know. That's a tough one.
That's true. But hey, is there anybody that you are super on this week? Anybody that you are completely all in that you may not have either mentioned, or somebody that you did mention, but you just want to reiterate that you are totally all in on this guy?
So I don't know if this is the appropriate time to bring this up or not, but.
Oh, intrigue.
Last week, I made a claim that there was going to come a time in the season when kickers would be a legitimate play. And that time, Rod, has come.
Has it now?
It has. Because as in my best lineup last week, which took down the tournament, I had a guy score 6 points in that lineup. And if I can spend $1,600 on one Adrian Trevino of the Albany Empire, the highest scoring team, the undefeated team, who has been getting close to 10 points as a kicker. Last game, he got 8 points. And it's super consistent. Here's his outputs for the last four games, 7, 8, 6, and 8. That's good enough, man. And that price point is so cheap that it'll allow me to make just unreal lineups on top of that. And I am even toying with the idea of throwing one Adrian Trevino, the kicker of the Albany Empire, in that captain slot so that then I can get 10 to 14 points out of a kicker and then just load up the rest of my lineup with all the guys who have the potential to go off for 40 to 50 points.
Wow. That is.
And I'm rolling that strategy out this week, man.
Hey, listen, again, this is the we get to experiment. That's the great part about this whole thing. $3, yeah. You can experiment on anything you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm doing it. That's and my guy is Adrian Trevino. I'm a little sad. Like, I almost kept this one to my chest, but I have to continuously tell myself, we're doing a podcast about daily fantasy and we're trying to push the envelope. You cannot keep these little treasures to yourself. But it's something that I believe honestly can pay off this week, and I'm going to be throwing it out there. So, hey, if you happen to be the one that takes me down and I see Trevino in your captain slot,
I was going to take that as a giant compliment because that just means that they listen to us and they are the ones that took your advice and your money.
Yeah. Yeah. And my money, which will be upsetting. But yeah, no, as I'm looking at it right now, man, I've got at least 8 Trevino lineups going.
Beautiful.
At the moment. Yeah. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to play one of those against you this week.
Ooh, please do. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, but we'll get to that when we go to our head-to-head lineups coming up here in a second. But who's your guy? Who's your sneaky play of the week?
I don't have any sneakies. I don't, because I'm gonna say Stoshak is my sneaky, and I'm playing him in the lineup against you, just spoiler alert, because like we said earlier, right, Stoshak has been that guy that has like, Stoshak is so cheap, and then Jensen Stoshak can come out this week and maybe he can play, and he doesn't, so this is the week, damn it, that he does.
Yeah, it's going to, I can't argue with that. And I would be surprised. And, you know, for that same reason, I've got him in my lineup against you. So why don't we just hop right into that lineup? We'll start the fact that we're both playing Stoshak. We're both playing Stoshak. And there's a reason why I went Stoshak. And that was to get my most regretful fade of all time back into my captain slot this week with Arvel Nelson. I'm putting Arvel Nelson at $15,900 into my captain slot because the man averages 38.8 points and he's playing Philadelphia, which just gave up to Grant Russell his best game of the season. And I think Nelson's just going to go in there and absolutely dominate. Washington needs a win bad. They've lost a couple close ones. I think they get it on track. I think Nelson leads that effort with just a banana cakes amount of fantasy points and output this week. So he's my captain. And what do you think about that?
I think Arvel Nelson in the captain slot is something that I've grown accustomed to saying. So I very much approve of that play, even though it is against me.
Yeah. So who's your captain, sir?
My captain this week is Lamarck Brown of my favorite Atlantic City Blackjacks. Wow. Yeah.
All right. That'll be your downfall.
It could be my downfall. But here's the thing about Lamarck Brown is that he has managed to find the end zone so very many times, even though he did it one less than what everybody said last week. You know, he did it last week or last time they met. He got 5 of 38 for a touchdown and rushed for a touchdown. So I think he is going to find at least one more time rushing touchdowns and at least one more. So I'm calling a Lamarck Brown 4 touchdown game this week to take you down and to equal your Arvel Nelson captain slot and surpass.
Wow. So I feel like that's side bet worthy. Do you think Lamarck Brown is going to surpass Arvel Nelson in the captain slot in scoring this week?
What do you want to do? What kind of side bet? I'm ready. Let's go.
That's a good one. I don't know.
Tell you what, you think about it. You think about it.
Okay.
You text me. We'll put it on Twitter.
Sounds good. All right. Side bet. All right. Well, I love the side confidence. Bet. I love the confidence. He has been pretty consistent. He has not had that big one breakout, like monster game yet this season. But he gets you a decent amount of points and he is relatively affordable. Good play. We'll see how it works out for you, but I am in my first flex going right back to Arvel Nelson's favorite target. I can say with confidence now, ouch, Dougie McNeil III, cause he's just been absolutely on a tear. His price point is still, low enough. It's climbing rapidly, but he's $8,000 and I'm going to be playing that all day long.
Yeah, $8,000 for McNeil is a good price, but I unfortunately can't seem to want to put him in there because I don't know. Much like the Williams thing, I just don't feel McNeil this week. I know that he's becoming a favorite target, but against you, I will not play him. In fact, I will play my favorite stack of Malachi Jones and Tommy Grady. So I'm going to throw those two out as a pair because I always do. I can't not play them. Every week.
Well, all right. That'll be point offset city because I'm also playing Tommy Grady and Marvin Jones stack because we listen to our own show and we do what we preach. So
yes,
just wipe those points off. It really is a 4-man game this week. Of course, I'm assuming you have Nelson in there somewhere, even though you haven't mentioned
I do not.
No,
Nelson. No. All right, no,
so
Nelson.
Down to the 4. So here's what it's going to come down to. We already said that we both got Stoshak in there, I believe.
Yes.
Didn't we? And I said I had Nelson in my captain slot and McNeil. You are rolling out with Lamarck Brown and who was the other flex?
Who was so the other flex? I have got Randy Hippert as my other to pair with Lamarck Brown. So anytime Hippert throws Brown the touchdowns, I get the points.
Nice. The hip beard. All right. So we got Stoshak. Your lineup is Stoshak, Hippard. Run through your lineup real quick.
All right. Sorry. So here we go. I got Lamarck Brown in the captain slot. I know we're just going to do it this way. I got Lamarck Brown in the captain slot. I got Malachi Jones. I got Randy Hippard. I got Stoshak. I've got Grady. So that's 5. And then I've also got Darius Prince to round that out because I think this is a bounce back game for Prince.
There it is. Darius Prince. That's a nice looking lineup. I'm going to. Okay, so I got Stoshak. I got Jones and Grady. I got McNeil III and Nelson. Nelson in that captain slot. Now, the only reason I was able to do this is because I'm rounding out this lineup with old trusty 6 to 10 points Trevino, the kicker of Albany Empire. So if Stoshak, well, basically it doesn't matter because we're both playing him, right? So I'm essentially playing a kicker, Doug McNeil and Arvil Nelson, against Hippard, Lamarck Brown, and the third guy that we're not playing. So it's essentially a three-person showdown is what this boils down to. My Nelson, McNeil, and Trevino against your Hipbeard, Lamarck Brown, and the third guy. That
Darius Prince.
Darius Prince. There we go. So we'll see. We'll see. We shall see.
I'll take that other win. I'm good. I mean, listen, you could keep taking down all of these little, you know, tournaments that you're taking down and winning your actual money. But for me, I will go ahead and continue to take down our head-to-heads because that is bragging rights, my friend.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. I'm still not convinced that you actually won last week. I'm still calling it 3-3.
Do the math. Do the math. Go back to the tape.
Fine. You're looking at actual stats. I like to look at the numbers that are on the computer screen.
Because those are reliable. When machines take us over.
That's what's going to hold up in history, man.
It won't go back to the record. Nope. I'm going to have DraftKings draft a letter that says to the Arena Kings.
If you get some third party, person in the AFL to officially deem you the winner last week, then I will concede defeat.
And, you, my friend, and,
anoint you.
That is a challenge I will accept.
I'm sure you'll be able to do it too. You're a connected man.
Not really. I just know how to be very, very loud on Twitter.
All right, man. I think that's going to just about wrap it up. Or do we have any straggling segments here?
I don't think we have any straggling segments. We actually introduced our first Arena King and our Arena Queen and our Arena Jester. So,
next week, are we going to have a Jack?
We're just going to go straight down the deck of cards.
Yeah, all the way to the two.
To the deuce. The fantasy deuce.
The fantasy deuce is even better than the gesture.
Oh my God, dude. This is late at night, so we just have so much fun.
Another good week, my friend. I'm hearing my echo come back, so I am just gonna let you wrap out this segment with the goodbyes. But hey, everybody, please win some money.
Absolutely.